Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. It's Monday evening, and we are a little group of three astrologers who get together and speak with you about astrology.
And hi, it's Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather. We're just signing on Access Astrology, and we like to take calls from listeners, or if you send us in an email ahead of time, we'll take a look at your question and your chart and talk about what you can expect and what are some good strategies for you around your question. Anyway, we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Mark Waltz, speaking with you from New York City, the island of Manhattan, and then I'm joined by someone else in Manhattan.
Ann Ortley, but my buzzer just buzzed, so I'm going to go answer my door. At my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, I'll be back.
Okay,
and
that's
this is and Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, where I have just moved this last few days.
Wow, so there you are. You probably haven't even unpacked the car yet.
Oh, barely. We have Mercury retrograde follies. Well, you know, no astrologer should move with Mercury retrograde. No one should move with Mercury retrograde. But there's some interesting examples of the fortuitousness of delays. The day we were supposed to close on the house on Friday, torrential rain. The closing was postponed from 8 o'clock in the morning over and over again till 1 o'clock, and at 12:45 our banker lady had a car accident. She couldn't show up, so someone had to go over and get the papers and find out if she was okay. One more delay after the other. We finally got the keys at 3:30 in the afternoon, and then it magically stopped raining for just a few hours while we busted our butt and got all the boxes in the house. Now, if it hadn't been for the delay, we would have been moving in torrential rain.
Wow.
So it was a wonderful example of Mercury retrograde.
Sometimes it's my friend.
The delays are good things.
Wow. And, you know, I have to say, only in North Dakota would you have a house closing delayed by the rain.
Wow.
Well, that was actually, that was in Minneapolis. We still haven't closed on the last house, and it's just driving us nuts.
The one you're going into. Okay.
The one we're going into. The one we're going out of is supposed to close a month ago, but the minute Mercury went retrograde, it was delayed indefinitely and may close next week.
Okay.
Right. Well, that one could get delayed by a buffalo stampede.
Yeah, easily. We are only a few blocks from the buffalo.
Right.
Very cool.
Wow.
But
okay,
so
you wrapped up the Minnesota deal. I mean,
I'm keeping my fingers crossed it all goes as it's supposed to. Because it's
it's all Mercury retrograde. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All Mercury retrograde.
We love Mercury retrograde, yes.
Yeah. And tomorrow is the station. It'll go direct again.
Yay! No more Mercury retrograde. Even though we love it, we're happy for it to leave us.
Yeah.
That
We happen to know that Heather is extremely sensitive to Mercury retrograde.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am.
It's almost an allergy.
Yeah, it's very funny stories, and I always give the advice to one should be on retreat with Mercury retrograde. But my life never seemed, I always seemed required to travel and to do delicate financial situations or delicate transportation difficulties with Mercury retrograde, and I prove over and over again that you can manage. You just have to build in redundancies, take extra time, expect unusual experiences along the way, and work with it, and just consider it a journey rather than an event to get out of the way.
Right, because if it's a journey, it's the process,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Mercury likes,
because
he likes the process.
Right.
We should actually commission a set of sandals or something for Heather that has Mercury retrograde.
Little wings on his feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with little
wings. Backwards wings, you know.
He might be, like, really into that, because he'd go, Heather, finally you're acknowledging me as the true God that I am.
I definitely acknowledge Mercury as a major God.
Yeah. As a major guy in charge of the world.
We'll get you a little helmet, too, you know, a little Mercury helmet.
With the wings going backwards. Yes. Well, I'm so tired, I can barely speak straight tonight.
It might help.
It might help. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. I need to do great obeisance to Mercury because although it gets complicated, Mercury does take care of me in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
We like him. I like him, I have to say. I like my Mercuries. It just, you know, you just kind of have to do it the slow way and the moving along way, and then you're going to go, okay, process. Process is good.
Well, so you guys think of it as the slow way because you're dealing with the Virgo end of Mercury.
Right.
But I have Gemini rising, so Mercury is quick.
So you're in. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
How has it been happening for you?
Well, I have a cell phone that's been dying.
Oh, dear.
It's drifting along. You know, if I hold the cord a certain way, the battery will charge about
30%. In death
throes. Yeah. So I'm ready for a new cell phone. Mm-hmm. I think I'll hook up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the next day. But it might not even last until the next day. So here we go.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Keep that process moving. All right.
So and what do we think of this week? I mean, it's been very interesting watching the stock market going up and down in the emotional extremes.
The flash crash, they're calling it. I was like, ooh, we like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good description of him. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mistakes. You know, Mercury retrograde with Saturn taking the major hits that it does. I often see the stock market get very volatile because that is one of the security systems in America. Right. So when Saturn aspect takes hits from the outer planets, the stock market starts to wobble all over the place.
Right.
What are you seeing?
Did they figure out what caused the flash crash?
Yeah, it was kind of a poor hookup between a few different electronic trading systems, and the way they were sort of linked into each other, it sort of triggered a sell-off. Because some of them, you know, read it as, you know, sell, 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 based on what else was going on, and it shouldn't have quite gone the way that it did. So it is ultimately
it's a real retrograde experience.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard what it was. I just heard that, you know, it was the flash crash. I'm like, good name.
Yeah.
Good name.
Especially with Mercury retrograde, you know, flash crash.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mercury,
good Mercury retrograde
that's
kind
a
of
flash,
name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should put the phone number out there.
Yes.
So people can start calling in.
347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So if we have any listeners with questions, feel free to call. We're going to talk about the aspects in the sky for about another 3 or 4 minutes. Then we'll take callers, and then we will wrap up the aspects in the sky and go
later
from
on.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things we do have this week is, you know, is the Mercury stationing direct, which is it's dead stopped in the sky right now, and it stations direct tomorrow at 6:27 at night. And then it goes forward for a while, which is always good. And it goes back over its path, back across all those Taurus planets that it was just dancing on. And it says, okay, we're ready to roll. So that's good. The other thing is there's a full moon, new moon. And Mars is at the degree it was at in the when it was in November. So we're kind of back in November with Mars about to clear its shadow from that long, long, long retrograde. So I think any one of those is a good topic to kind of run on, huh?
Yeah, today and tomorrow with the moon in impatient Aries, it's very hard to have the moon in Aries and have Mercury station, because it really is the gas and the brakes at the same time. That Moon in Aries is asking us to get on with it, hurry up, get going. And the stationary Mercury says, no, if you rush now, you will make a mistake. Keep it slow and steady, one foot in front of the other. When in doubt, slow down. Mercury station in Taurus.
Right.
A lot of information will be coming out in the next few days as Mercury goes direct, as it usually does, that was hidden while Mercury was retrograde, that will be an important part of what we need to make plans in the future. So if we push our plans now, we're going to have to revamp them tomorrow or the next day. So move slowly, get everything in line, get everything ready, you know, put your books away, get focused. That's my instructions to myself.
Put your books away, get focused.
Put your books away, yeah, mm-hmm. Get ready. Mm-hmm. But don't push ahead until Mercury goes direct, because it will be so much smoother after that. Now, that, and even so, that we're in the dark of the moon in Taurus when the moon moves out of Aries and into Taurus, it is not till late Thursday that we have the new moon in Taurus. Now, Friday is one of the most fertile new moons in the entire year. It is the perfect time to plant seeds of anything we want to grow, however we want to play with that metaphor. So send resumes, make contacts, tell someone you love them that doesn't know that. Actually plant in your garden, or metaphorically plant in your garden. It's on Friday and Saturday, as I see as some of the major aspects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you think?
That's true. The new moon in Taurus, this is really a good time. You know, it brings the energy into the earth really strongly. So planting and, you know, also not just planting, but really enjoying this sort of very center of the spring season. You know, we've had a lot of the early flowers, and they're fading now. I know in New York.
Well, now it's freezing in New York.
Yeah, now not only are the early blooms fading,
mm-hmm.
but the big freeze has come. Luckily,
it was 40 degrees.
Yeah,
we had 80-degree weather, so everything comes early. The lilacs were early. The cherry blossom festival were 2 weeks ahead of the cherry blossoms. The cherry blossoms
right.
were 2 weeks ahead of the festival, rather.
Festival, yeah.
And there's nothing left in the Brooklyn. Well, not nothing, but most of the flowering plants are gone from the Brooklyn Botanical Garden. And now
wow.
it's cold. You know, it's like chilly.
Yeah,
you know,
cold.
It's a very nippy little thing out there. So, kind of wild.
Those
yeah.
temperature extremes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was snowy when I packed up the truck in North Dakota.
Wow. Now, are you actually in Minneapolis?
I'm in Minneapolis now. I'm in St. Paul.
Cool.
Right next to Minneapolis.
Wow.
Right.
Very cool.
And happy to be here because it's so much warmer and it's spring-like here.
Yeah.
It's cold still, but it's the trees are much farther along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're pretty well past the danger of frost there.
Here.
Yeah.
Not in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Right. Not North Dakota. It'll be another few weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
Another thing that's in another Mercury retrograde folly, it's in the headlines, I just wanted to bring our attention to, is what's happening with the English government right now.
Oh,
that
yeah.
the election 4 days ago, you know, we found in the American government, you know, one of the hardest times to make any decision is as Mercury stations.
Right.
And
so when
Mercury
do they have
station,
their election?
Right.
As Mercury
exactly.
stations.
Yeah. Mercury stationed the day that George Bush was supposedly elected the first time,
mm-hmm.
but we'll never know actually who won, because that the information is so distorted from that day. Mercury has been slowing down two stations for the last few days, and they have their election. Three parties are now fighting it out. The head of parliament has just stepped down. And they still don't know what the government's 4 days now, and they don't know who's going to be head of the new English government.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to do a coalition, so
yes,
you know,
and
get,
they're wheeling and dealing behind the scenes,
yes.
but nothing has happened yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
So it has been destructuring.
Mm-hmm.
You see that Saturn Neptune in conjunct, and that Saturn-Uranus opposition. Saturn-Neptune in conjunct, and we see this echoing in a different way in the oil disaster.
The inability to cap it, right.
The inability to cap it, the problem with pollution, and the challenge that this brings to the whole system of dealing with fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and also Barack Obama has that Jupiter-Saturn aspect in his chart, and he just authorized drilling off the coast, and boom,
and now it's taking
the baby
it back.
Blows off, because whenever he, you know, it's the good news, bad news, so this is the, I'm thinking
he's
this
never
is
allowed
the bad
to stray
news.
Far.
Yeah, he's not allowed to stray. He always, his
right.
chart just nails him, which is good, actually, so I'm kind of thinking this is the, it's actually good news that there's an oil, I mean, not for obviously the ducks and the beets and all that, but for all of us, where it's going to say, okay, let's not have offshore drilling.
Mm-hmm.
That part's good, because it's going to be like, well, we probably can't do it because, you know, we're, and also none of the East Coast people have ever dealt with the tar balls and the greasy, oily water that is off the coast of Texas. It's just, it's really, you don't want to swim in it because it smells like a garage.
Right.
You know, it's bad, bad, bad. But, you know, if they open up the East Coast to drilling, we'll have that. So this, if we have the thing hit the Gulf Stream and take out a couple of the nice pristine beaches on the East Coast, we'll see if people really want the drilling.
I have a proposal for how to proceed with offshore drilling.
Mm-hmm.
When the arrangements are made and the actual permission is granted, that whatever meeting that is, which will involve some people from the government, some people from the oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
They have to meet at some sort of a pool, and the pool will have an inch of clean oil floating on top, and they'll all stand in that water. And so, you know, no harm done, but they have to, you know, feel that oil and smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be at least up to their calves in that water as they discuss the final arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has to be in the paperwork is that they must have ready whatever capping system or dismantling system or somehow plugging that hole is going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be not only decided, but it has to be built and ready to lower, you know. And they have to have that plus one backup system to shut the thing down.
Yeah.
And then they can go ahead and use it.
Yeah.
But it has to be built and ready.
Right.
I just don't see any way that we can safely do these things without that. And frankly, they can build that into that pretty easily.
Yeah.
It's not that expensive to build something to shut the thing down.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if you look in your apartment and you see you have a gas line coming in to supply your stove, there are shutoff valves in the basement of your building.
Mm-hmm.
There are shutoff valves along the way up, and there are shutoff valves in your kitchen.
Right.
And, you know, some of those valves are going to work if you have a problem. And so why don't we have guaranteed shutoff valves on all of these oil pipes? You know, and so that has to be built into their cost.
Right.
And they have to make that agreement standing at least up to their calves in oily water. So that they know.
I think they should have to stand in oily water up to their waist. Is
there anybody waiting online?
Yes, there is.
Okay, let's go with
let's
that.
Go. We'll go with the phone. I agree with Mark on it.
So,
all right,
take
Skype
it
person.
Well put.
Hello, Skype person. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. Can you hear us?
Hello, New Yorkers.
Hello, New Yorkers. Do you have a question for us?
St. Paul,
My birthday is in June, and I was wondering if I could have a happy returns, many returns.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
And when were you born in June?
June 13th, 56.
I'm sorry,
and
what
time?
Day is it?
7:20 a.m.
And what was the date in June?
June
13th.
1-3-13.
66.
No, 5-6.
5-6? Okay.
Yeah, 5-6.
With Mercury Station, we're going to have to check every piece of information.
Yeah, no, all the data.
And where?
New York City.
Okay, wonderful.
Oh, we know where that is.
You do?
And so, Gemini moon in Leo with a beautiful moon-Jupiter-Pluto conjunction in the second house and a Cancer rising. And your question was, what's your solar return like?
Coming up, yes.
Yes. And because it's good for the public to follow along with this, and how do you use process corrected or do you not with your solar return?
I look at both. I like precessed because it shows the, you know, in a candidate like her, the over 35, you know, 34, because the 72 years. The solar system moves backwards a degree. So I look at both. I actually think they say the same thing. So I look at the solar and the precessed, and we've done – I have a group that meets at my house once a month called the Astrology Discussion Group, and we've compared, you know, the ones that are actually precessed and solar plane, and it's the same information. It's kind of fascinating. The universe does it in the same way, just looks in different houses.
Different way. That's what I thought. I have seen more information coming out of the process corrected, but I think they both have a lot of validity.
Yeah, they do. I like both. I mean, I look at both. Mainly, I usually
and
just do the
how
solar
about work. Relocation?
I do relocation, yeah. I think relocation is important.
So do you think you're going to be, oh, caller here, are you going to be in New York for your birthday?
I am indeed.
Great. Now, and maybe you could explain to the public what a solar return is for those that don't know.
What a solar return is where the phrase many happy returns comes from for your birthday. So the idea is that the sun returns to the place it was when you were born many times, and you then have the ability to have many birthdays, obviously a long life, and many happy returns, that the years are happy and positive and life is good and you smile and laugh and sing. So we look at the solar return as the expansion energy. It's the snapshot. I'm getting a feedback thing on my phone here, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Mercury retrograde. So it's an expansion energy, and it looks like the birthday cake, you know, with the many circles and the one candle in the middle to grow on. And it's a snapshot of the year ahead. You look at the sun. Placement, you look at the house ruled by Leo, you look at the focus and see if there's any angles in the chart that compare with your natal, and then when you know, oh, your ascendant matches your moon, oh, it's going to be a moon year, you're going to have a lot of emotional things, maybe get pregnant, maybe get a new home, you know, you kind of look at the symbolic meanings of the planets when you interpret a solar return. They're very cool, so we like them. I like them. So, Heather?
Yes, I think that's a lovely description of it. And what we get with the solar return is it's just a snapshot of your year ahead and a snapshot of your major issues. I don't like it so much as a predictive tool for, I much prefer transits and progressions. They usually say echo the same information, but for timing for the year ahead, though I've seen some people do amazing work with return charts, I prefer transits and progressions for timing in their life. How about you, Anne?
I like the solar return. I mean, you count from the midheaven months, and if you count the degrees in a house, you're going to get a month. You lose 5 days, so you kind of squish them in on the angles. 1 degree on each angle and then move it. But I found they're pretty accurate in terms of pinpointing the month where the activity is going to really take place.
Yeah, and then I take that month and I go and look at their
and then you go look at the transits and progressions, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because it kind of pinpoints the hot months. And then you can count from the sun, too. And you count
and
going counterclockwise, not clockwise, for those of you trying this at home with your very own computers. So. Mark, do you like the solar return?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do the precessed ones. I just look at the tropical.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it gives the theme and the flavor for the year and a general sense of when things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I do the the timing ultimately by when the transits show up during the year.
Right.
So now that we've seen this, what do we see in her life coming up in the year ahead?
Thanks.
Focus on the fourth house and the fifth house, creativity and home and family. Actually, I take that back. I'm in 2009. I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry. That was last year you focused on home and family. This year, let's see what you focus on next.
It looks like there's
current.
So much of you that's just sort of coming into your own.
Yeah,
I'm also looking at your transit progressions at the same time as the solar return. And it just feels, you know, your progressed moon has just gone into your first house, and that's coming into the public. So I have to see that as echoed in your solar return chart, as the you're in a, it's a progressed new moon with Venus at the very bottom of the chart, Venus at the IC, which is sort of foundations, and the progressed, I mean, the return moon coming to conjunct the Venus at the bottom of the chart. And I just feel that as sort of a wellspring of creativity and of getting into your heart and into your emotions and being yourself, being at home in your own life if you choose to move forward. After some time of uncertainty, there's not a lot of confidence yet in this new level of your year, but within that, great growth is possible. A lot of action, a lot of chance of being empowered in a quiet way. If you have patience with yourself, don't let the doubts pull you down, but just, you know, listen to yourself and progress anyway. Is there a specific issue that you're thinking of in the year ahead?
Real estate, I'm thinking of selling my home due to the market.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in your home long?
Yes, I have.
And you're thinking of selling it because the market is low right now?
No, you know, because of the disaster that we're all going through.
Right. That's a possibility as your progressed moon, as your return moon conjuncts your Venus. But I would ask you not to focus on what you're leaving, but what home would you like instead? There's so many lunar aspects that it's easy for you to respond out of fear, but that's and drama, but that's not really where your solution is. If you could see selling your home as a way to a more pared down and focused way of being, that would serve you, but that would be hard for you to go for unless your arm was being twisted, then this is the time to sell your home. If you're doing it in intense reaction, there might be some other way that would not, that I'm afraid that if you move in reaction instead of creation, you're going to be losing money. If you can see a way of doing this that where you still hold your power, in other words, they're not, you're not being forced to sell below what it's worth, not in the old ways, but even in a new position. I think that if you do this with a little bit of patience, you can get some of your investment out of it and invest in a focused and more alive life coming up.
Cool.
And what do you see?
Yeah, I would say that's quite true, and that it will help you this year to keep the focus on if it's money that you need to bring in. Don't think of the house as a way to do that, but rather look around because there are a lot of things available to you to bring in money and to put energy into doing that. And so look at other ways of bringing in fresh money, not using what you've already put aside. And you can look at the house as being something you've already put aside, but it'd be better to think of that as a longer-term thing still and use your vitality to draw in other monies, and they will come.
Right. I'm looking at the regular solar, so in that case, the Venus is on the ascendant, and it rules the fourth house, and the Sun rules the regular, the ascendant of the chart, and the second house of the money of the chart. So there's a whole focus on this of the direction you want to take. And with Jupiter and Uranus so high in the chart up in the ninth house, the fear of legal matters or the fear of loss with Saturn in the third, that might be prompting the sense of feeling like you need to sell it. I don't know that it actually needs to go, but the Moon on the south node does say in some energies you're going, okay, if I don't cash out, I'm never going to. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case. One of the things that is a positive in, you know, if the market collapses and, you know, there's problems, you know, as long as you can pay the mortgage, you need a roof over your head. So it actually is a good investment to keep. That said, the Sun's in Gemini ruling those two charts. So ruling those two houses, the first and the second, which is you and your money. And so the right now you're feeling that you and the money are very linked. And if the money's all tied in the house, that can make you feel very anxious because the Moon's on the ascendant. Or Venus is on the ascendant. I'm having Mercury retrograde today. So I would certainly find out what it's worth and see if it's possible. Springtime is the time to sell it, you know, because a lot of people move in spring, summer. But I also think that, you know, where are you going to live? What's affordable housing? New York City's pricey, although right now rents are actually low. And if you own something, you know, you have a roof over your head. So that part's good. But if you're looking to be liquid, then what your fear is coming and talking, you know, Saturn is in the third house of fear. So if it's coming from a fear place, I wouldn't say do it. If it's coming from a, you know, it's time for me to sell it because I really want to move to Florida and, you know, pursue skateboarding or something, then I would say, yeah, go forward with it. So, I don't think you'll have a problem selling it. So that's the, you know, the other thing. If you're looking to get rid of it, then, you know, you've got good aspects to release it. So.
Okay.
Good. Happy birthday, too.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, happy birthday.
All right. So we'll try the next caller. Hello, caller 917. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just curious about what I should focus on right now in my life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Birthday is.
And when were you born?
April 17th, 1971, 12:46 in the afternoon.
And where?
New York, New York.
April 17th, 71, 12:46 in the afternoon in New York. Cool.
New York.
Focus for you is
Capricorn, Leo rising.
Yes.
Mercury retrograde in Taurus, so you're doing better than the rest of us today, this week.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Well,
you know,
good.
You're a highly focused, very ambitious person. So I'm not really worried about whatever you focus on. If you don't let yourself get too discouraged, because you can.
Yes.
You will do wonderful at it. But you can be really hard on yourself.
Yeah.
I'd go back to some early critical patterns that run on your mother's side of the family with that Moon-Mars conjunction on the third house cusp, on the sixth house cusp in Capricorn for the public. That it looks to me that the women in your mother's side of the family could be really hard on themselves and tended to criticize others depending more on their mood than how you are actually doing. So you're sometimes a little uncertain about the reason why other people give you feedback. But the thing is, you've kept that voice inside of yourself, and you can be really hard on yourself. And like those women who tended to value themselves by the work they did, not who they were. You tend to judge yourself by your work and by your accomplishments, not who you are. And I'd like just to remind you that your first job is to just be an evolving soul, and that who you are is a pretty amazing person. When you're not self-conscious and discouraged, you can, you know, if life catches you off guard and throws something at you, you handle it beautifully. Your problem is when you think too much about it. That when life's busy and the chips are down and there's an emergency to deal with, you're damn good. It's when you think about what you should be focusing on. It's when you there isn't a big enough challenge right in front of you. You're better at putting out fires than you are planning ahead. You're good in emergencies. You handle things well. But you tend to always look at what you didn't do or what you should have done rather than compliment yourself on what you did. Would you say that's right? Do you think you can be a little hard on yourself?
Is he there?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello. Maybe we lost him. I don't know.
Don't be that hard on yourself.
He hung up on us. All right. Well, I mean,
come
hopefully,
on back.
Come back. Hopefully, he's listening.
Yeah, call in again.
No, I would. You know, I mean, he's not on the. He's not showing on the switchboard.
If
hopefully he's going to call.
He's coming
again.
Back.
Yeah.
That learning to. Yeah, learning to appreciate himself. If he can hear us.
Mm-hmm.
That learning, and he can download this later if he wants. Learning to appreciate himself. His progressed moon just went into Cancer a few months ago. So really self-contentment, creating more balance in his life between his social life and his work, between his ambition and his sense of self and having a whole life. If he can do that for a few years, then, you know, we know he's always going to be ambitious at his work. And I'd like to see him working most with his loaded ninth house, with some kind of business that has to do with the international community or has an international profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking at his second house where he's got Saturn going through it and landing on Pluto.
Uh-huh.
Got a
uh-huh.
Grand Trine in Earth,
opposing
very productive.
Venus in the eighth, yes.
Right, but that Grand Trine in Earth is highly productive and really able, capable to manifest in the world, and he's
yep.
just finishing up a 30-year cycle with Saturn on the Pluto. So he's got a new
yeah.
cycle of beginning that's pretty major for him. And Saturn through the second traditionally is the old work. The existing life was good, no problems, no complaints, but you're putting down the path for the next 30 years. And very often
right.
there's a new love that comes in when mm-hmm. Saturn goes through the second that says, okay, this is my new passion. This is where I want
right.
to go. And whatever that is, even if he's not 100% sure, we don't even know his name. Even if he's not 100% sure where he's headed with it, whatever that is, in a few years, that will be able to make him decent money. And the other part with that in conjunct between Saturn and Pluto, or between Pluto and his sun, is recognizing that part of his life is always to be a little rocky, little rocking chair energy where it goes up, it goes down, goes in, it goes out. And whatever the process is.
Canary, you'd rather not be bored. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's going to give him this ability to really launch as Saturn comes over that point and kind of hypercharges it. So I think he's actually looking at a pretty good year ahead. A little financial problems right
you know,
now.
Yeah.
But that's
with
okay.
Saturn
you know, that's
going
part
through
of
the. And Saturn going through the second house is often you don't feel financially rewarded for the work that you're doing at the time. But you're building the foundations
for the
more
next
financial
work.
Stability later.
Right.
Just no one's paying you the money you think you deserve during the time.
Right, right. Or you're making a lot of money doing the work you hate, you know.
Right.
So, Mark, what do you see about his chart? Anything? You there? Mark there, too.
Oh, yeah. You notice this Mercury retrograde was had his name on it.
Yeah,
yes, it
totally.
Does.
Your natal Mercury is at zero Taurus and it's retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And this retrograde has been all
so
in Taurus.
A lot of things have been so many issues up and running in his life right now.
Yeah, and I would expect it's been a period of review.
Right.
You know, a lot of things coming back, a lot of realizations of kind of where you're
straightening out old snafus.
Yeah, your development of your mind has come from, and people that have been important in the way that your thinking has developed have shown up, and you're very aware of that. So in terms of looking at where you're going now, bring all of that into it. You've just had 3 weeks of the fresh realization of how you've developed your thinking and who's been having input into that, and bring that with you. That's meant to unfold
right
through the whatever's coming up. And that they hand fine with the Saturn and Pluto and Mars hanging out over there. That's always a really very powerful grand trine. It's true. And being in Earth signs,
right,
makes it, when as Anne said, for manifesting, bringing things into being, and they're very solid and real. So that's your real work.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think also that there's like a finger of God forming in the, with Saturn on the Pluto and then Neptune over in the seventh. So he's also feeling maybe some major changes in his friends or the relationships among his friends. So that is part of the process. You should be putting down roots for the future, and maybe some of the people that were part of your life are leaving. And at the end of the month, on Memorial Day, Saturn's going to station right on your Pluto. So that is going to also open up some kind of new opportunities, and it'll actually finalize the situation that you've been working on now around your money and how you're valued. So he's gone. Mm-hmm. So we'll go on to the next caller. This is a 415. Hello, 415. How are you?
Hi, this is Lila calling.
Lila calling. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I've been really feeling the Mercury retrograde with a series of three bad catastrophes in a row. But then I met a very, very sweet young man. And I'm calling because I was hoping you could look at his chart and tell me a little bit about him and maybe how it aligns with mine.
Hi, Lila. Sure.
Hi.
What's your birth information?
Yeah, his birth information is, I'm good. Hi. I hope your new home is treating you well.
I hope it is, too. So far, it's wonderful.
Good.
So, when were you born again?
Early
report. Mine is April 9th, 1975, at 12:34 a.m.
So, like at midnight.
Uh-huh, in Whittier, California.
How do you spell that?
Whittier, Whittier.
Okay.
Okay. And when was your fellow born?
9/20/69 at 6 a.m. in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, you come watch that.
Six AM in Florence.
Okay, so you're in Aries. Charge, 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 go, 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 Sag rising. Frisky, fast-moving, ready to go. His sun squares your ascendant. So very often when that happens, it creates sparks. Sun square ascendant or sun square sun kind of moves fast. He has a moon in Capricorn, which is a serious emotional nature, and you have a sensitive emotional nature with your moon in Pisces. I like his north node.
They sextile nicely.
Yeah, and they sextile nicely, and they make mud or fertile earth together, earth and water, lovely placement. His north node's on your moon, so your little moon in Pisces met him and went, oh, I think I know you. You're very cute, and let me follow you home, because that moon in Pisces is going to say, I like you. And so that's good. Now, you know, with his chart, with his Virgo, Sun, Pluto, he's a little bit of a control guy. And you're in Aries, so you like the guys that are control. You know, the Sun, Aries and Sun likes direct, straightforward.
She likes strong, but not necessarily controlling.
Right, but like she likes it. She's going to be pulling in that Pluto energy and going, oh, this could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a Sag Mars, so you kind of have to watch
on her ascendant
how he shows up. And, I mean, I like the Mars on the ascendant. You're going to feel really hot and spicy with him, and he's going to feel hot and spicy with you. So I would say to you, go ahead, you know, with it, recognizing you did meet him on a Mercury retrograde, yes, in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
And so Mercury is in your fifth house of love affairs. has been transiting in that fifth house, going back into it again. So we'll see what happens once Mercury gets a little focused. But it is aspecting his Juno and aspecting his Earth planets. So that part's nice, and it also is in conjunct Uranus, kind of waking it up. So I say forward recognizing that his emotional nature is much more restrained than yours is. So you want to kind of let him lead. Would be how I would do
to
this.
To a point.
Hmm?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point. They do have you. Your Mars is due sextile, and that's wonderful chemistry that you give each other energy.
Mm-hmm.
Your Mars opposed his Venus, so there, and you have a Venus Mars square natally. So you kind of like a relationship with a little difference and a distance and a push pull. You don't like anybody who you can walk over. You have a fixed Mars-Venus square in your natal chart. So you like a relationship with someone who can stand up to you, that can wrestle with you, that can love you, that won't back off.
Mm-hmm.
And Venus, I mean, he has his Venus in and Mars both in fire signs. They can meet your Aries. But there's great chemistry. There's a great inner compatibility, it's a great sexual compatibility. What there's missing is a day-to-day, ordinary, it's harder to stir the oatmeal together. You can actually be good companions at home, but when you're dealing with the world at large, it's a little tricky sometimes. It doesn't mean that it can't happen. You're an Aries and this person's a Virgo. Well, I'm a Virgo and my mate's an Aries. It's actually a service sign relationship. You do for one another, and it can be quite good. So it's just you have to negotiate the difference in how you do it. And if he is comfortable enough with his Mars and Sagittarius in sitting back and letting you be the Aries that you are, letting you go all over the place, it's wonderful. I'd say
he's like that. So.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been very
refreshing. General, it'll be the two of you together in bed will be delightful. But the two of you dealing with large groups of people in the public, or how you handle your work, or how you balance your home life versus your professional life, will just take some negotiating.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Got it.
So you know, personal life, great. Lots of juice. You know, it's worth the effort.
Right.
Public life, it's going to take some care. You know, Anne's absolutely right. Let him lead in his own way. Find out what's non-negotiable on your part, and don't argue about it. Just say, nope, I have to go my own way on this direction. I'll agree with you on that. That's easy. But this is mine, and it's not negotiable. And I'll negotiate on everything else. It's like, don't get mad at him. He needs some training on that. And that actually he needs that reassurance. One of the things that can help with him is that the moon in Capricorn hates to not know when he's going to see you. You may hate to say, well, you know, when are you going to be back? Later, when I'm done. And he wants to know by 9:00. Well, he doesn't really need to know exactly where you are and when you're going back. He just needs to know when he's going to see you again.
Right, I got
it. I will either be home or call by 9.
Uh-huh.
Then he's relaxed.
Yeah.
So he's not really trying to control you. He's just saying, I need some security here. I need to know the next time I see you. And if you give me that, then I won't ask you what you did between now and then.
Uh-huh. I think that living in the Bay Area for quite a while has served him well. He's lived between New York City and the Bay Area, so he's definitely not controlling, which, you know, I could see that.
Wait, honey, I would say that's now. How long have you two known each other?
A couple weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
That stuff will show up 6 months to 2 years.
Okay, I see.
Okay.
Not
that's
bad,
that's,
but it's just, you know, he has a sun Pluto.
Deep emotional issues. That's like how the core nature trains. It's not what he thinks or what he believes in, but how his core nature is trained.
Right now
it's a little bit of a honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right now you're in the honeymoon
period. So you're working
period.
Those places together. Yeah. And you can be a little spacey sometimes and not necessarily give him the information that he needs to feel secure. So in the long run, you're a really good pairing. You just have to negotiate the differences and not see them right as right or wrong, just as what do you need when you start to really bond and connect.
Right. So one Mercury retrograde question, you said that Mercury was in my house of relationship, I think, Anne?
Yeah, it's down in the fourth, edge of the fifth.
And has that been going on for quite a while? Because actually, your guys' podcast last week was amazing
mm-hmm.
for me. You had a woman
mm-hmm.
who called in. She
mm-hmm.
did not have similar birth information as me, but she'd been going through this kind of Mercury retrograde thing with her
mm-hmm.
partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that with another man over the last 3 years. Every Mercury retrograde, we have some type of coming back. And
mm-hmm.
so I had not known that about the relationship thing. Do you think it's a time for me really to stay single?
No. I just was noticing, you know, you had said you had a bunch of Mercury retrograde experiences, and Mercury, you know, if you look at your fifth house ruler, he's one of your co-rulers of the fifth house, and he also rules your seventh house, you know, because you have 25 Gemini, and then Mercury is, Gemini is part of your fifth house. So bringing in a partner on a Mercury retrograde, not a bad thing, and Mercury's in that house.
Oh,
and
really? Because I'm always like, what's up? Like,
well, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like when we watch when things show up, and you also have Mercury on your south node. So, you know, your south node's going to call in people. Mercury's going backwards. You know, one of the things that his north node is on your moon, so there can be a sense of, oh, hi, partner, I've met you. I've been waiting for you here for a while. We know each other from another lifetime. We know each other from another space.
Right.
So I think of Mercury as Mercury is a relationship planet for you because he rules your fifth and your seventh, and he's going retrograde, and he's stationed on your Juno. Your Juno is 14, and he's stationed right next to it at 12.
Uh-huh.
So, and he also stationed trine to your equatorial ascendant, which is like a magic little connector point that you have, and he also stationed in conjunct to your Neptune in your 12th house.
Wait,
and so those
here,
that combination made me go, oh, Mercury's really busy because he's, you know, he's stationed in a finger of God in her directional past life connector point, ruler of her fifth, co-ruler of her fifth, co-ruler of her seventh. This
mm-hmm.
guy could be important. So I kind of went,
okay. Do you mean Mercury or do you mean the fellow?
I mean Mercury, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mean Mercury, okay.
Well, Mercury as the messenger. Think of Mercury as the guy who brings you presents.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were talking about this fellow that I gave you the chart for or
Yes. Now, I'm talking about Mercury himself. When Mercury
uh-huh.
is, you know, he's like playing magic right now, and he's saying, let me bring you some presents for the, you know, the future, or let's bring you some presents to clear the past.
Right.
And because he's retrograde, but he's retrograde and Saturn's retrograde, so they kind of make a positive. Two negatives make a positive. So
okay.
This guy could be representing some past energy you're clearing, but you're also having
so
Neptune
you say
on accept Mars.
The present.
Mm-hmm. I say he's in the present, but Mercury brought him to you. Very often see planets that are when the planets are doing things in the sky and they rule the houses in your chart that are important, like in his case, Mercury's a relationship planet for you because
right.
he rules those houses about relationships. And okay. he was very active in this station in your chart. So he's
right.
like stirring the pot, you know, and he brings, you know, or Venus brings or Mars brings. But in this case, you said, oh, and I met this guy on Mercury retrograde. Mercury's active right now. So when I see that, I'm like, oh, he's a busy guy right now. So yeah, he could have.
When you said that Mercury, that someone that comes back into your life every time Mercury is retrograde, that's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
But it often is. It's a dream. It's finishing up an old karmic cycle and not really about your future. You know, the example that we often give is that Ted Kennedy always announced that he was running for presidency when Mercury was retrograde, and he always backed out of it. It's about an old dream that needs to be worked on and is part of his legacy, but not really where he was going.
Right.
So if someone shows back up in your life only with Mercury retrograde, you're finishing a karmic cycle with them, and it's important to see it through, but you would have to sort of end that relationship and start a whole new one with the same person to have them be part of your future.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
It's often great to be with them. And, you know, there are some Mercury retrograde buddies, people that you only hear from with Mercury retrograde. It's wonderful to reconnect with them. But they're not, you know, just you don't buy a house with them. You know,
right.
Yeah, and you enjoy your time with them.
Right. And your solar arc Mercury is at 12 Taurus, which is the degree that Mercury's stationed on. And it's on the edge of your fifth house. So, like, I'm looking and thinking Mercury's, like, playing with you in a good way. You know, he's bringing you presents. And this
guy, so I was saying, except you're telling me to accept to the presents that are being offered.
Right, right.
Yes.
And also this guy's a Virgo, right, or has those Virgo planets. So the Virgo part is ruled by Mercury.
Yeah, I was a little confused because he told me he was a Libra, so I'm...
No. Well, depending on the day,
he's right on the cusp.
Right on the cusp. He's actually a
Virgo,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
He'd like to be a Libra, but he's really
a
Virgo.
A lot of Virgos are sort of self-conscious about it because so many astrological books are mean about Virgos because they're written by fire and air signs.
Good point.
That they're Virgos.
I never thought of that, Heather.
Good. Well, I'll check that.
You should write a book.
Write
a book on them. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate it. And one little thing, and I've tried to contact you for a reading a number of times, and I haven't gotten to hear back from you. So if you could call me, or we could set something up outside of this, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, cool. Well, have you done? The website has a booking thing on it.
I did it, and I never heard from you.
Really?
I've done
very
it twice.
Weird.
Yeah. So we should talk. But I really
appreciate
your guys' time. I appreciate your guys' time, and I really appreciate you guys.
Okay, thanks, Lila. Well, thanks for letting me know it's not working. That's really
yeah,
weird.
We'll talk. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Bye.
That's odd. Okay, good to know. That's the second time I heard that today. Somebody said they tried to pay me, and it didn't take the money. So I'm like, okay. Not good.
Very Mercury retrograde.
Very Mercury retrograde. Okay. Cool. So forward we go. We have no more callers. So we have, and we have 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess we'll...
Let's talk about the week ahead.
Yeah.
We got the moon in Aries today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run. Walk, don't run.
Mm-hmm.
But do... take the energy and the restlessness, which is easy to kind of just walk around in circles, and make progress where you can rather than try to push ahead. Work on the path of least resistance. If something feels stuck, go to where you can make progress and get things in line to really launch something, plant some important seeds, and make some important contacts on Friday and Saturday. What do you see coming for the weekend and early next week, Anne?
I noticed the moon in Gemini, which is always kind of a little fritzy, you know, it's kind of energy, and it's got a closing aspect of a square to Uranus. So I think of this as being a great day for a garage sale. Because you can part with stuff. Not a good day to go shopping because you're going to bring home weird things.
Mm.
But, you know, part of the process. And Sunday has a lot of aspects. Most of them pleasant, a couple a little more difficult, a little more argumentative, which is okay. And the moon is occulted by Venus, so there can be relationship stuff that comes in that's pretty significant, particularly once we get into the Cancer part of the day, which is the afternoon after 1:45 on Sunday. But I would be aware of the fact that this is a good weekend to kind of have issues or arguments with folks because... of the square. Mark?
Okay. Well, I think that pretty well takes us out. Again, we are Access Astrology, and feel free to send us an email with a question or call in next week and ask your question and get into one of these brouhahas online. Okay, this is Malcolm Wolf signing off from New York City.
Yeah, and Ann Orley at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side.
Yes, and Heather Rowan Robbins from newly landed in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yay, she's moved. She's not living in the middle of the woods anymore. There's a Starbucks nearby you, Heather.
Yes, there is. There's food, there's rice, there's recycling. It's wonderful.
Okay.
We love that.
Okay.
Good.
Take care of everybody and have a wonderful week ahead.
All right. Take care, folks, and have a good week.
Day.
We'll talk to you next week on the 17th, May 17th. I can't believe it is already May, and I can't believe my Fire Island beach house starts this week. So I'm like,
ooh.
It's too cold to go to the beach. It's 40 degrees out.
How exciting.
I know. I'm ready. But at the same time, yeah, it's cold. No swimming for me. Just going to walk along the beach in very warm clothes.
Any minute now.
Yes. So, at any rate, have a great week, folks. Bye.
Wonderful. Bye.